Going to continue through 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to read from chapter 2, from verse 6 to the rest of chapter 2. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May the Lord bless us as we listen to his word. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this is a very beautiful day. Snow everywhere, which reminds me of this. Around this time of the year, when we receive white snow covering everywhere, coming from sky, I also receive a question from people, many people. People ask me the same question every year around this time. And that question is this: Pastor, do you have snow in South Korea, where you came from? And the answer is, yes, we do have snow in South Korea. And when someone asks me that question, I have to pause myself for a second and have to think, how can I explain these Canadians who never been to or seen or been to South Korea what it is like to have snow in my home country? Well, of course, everyone knows that snow is the same everywhere in the world, whether it snows in Asia or Europe, in North America. Snow is a snow. Snow is not yellow or blue. It's white. As we sang from Psalm 51, so that we can confess all together, all around the saints in the world. Just as David said, "Cleanse me, purge me, and make me white as snow." Nevertheless, the reason I had to pause and think about it for a second is this. I tell you, although it's the same snow, the scenery in South Korea with the snow, I tell you, it's very, very different from here. I would say it has different beauty. Of course, Canada with the snow is very beautiful. So does South Korea with snow. Or perhaps I can say I'm a little bit biased. South Korea has more, it's more beautiful. You can discuss about that later. But because the reason is this, it's something that people here never seen. The mountains, the trees, different types of trees, different architecture, buildings, traditional house, Korean houses, covered with snow, is magnificent and very beautiful. Now the thing is this, some people may ask me, Pastor, can you show me some pictures? We're blessed with the technology. Somebody can send me a picture right away from South Korea through internet or through phone, and I can show them, I can just show them the picture, or I can do my best, if I don't have pictures, I can do my best to explain what it is like to have snow in my home country. But here's the thing, what if you don't have access to the pictures? What if someone asks me about place that I never have been to? Imagine this. For instance, when someone in a catechism class asks, Pastor, do you know if there's going to be any animals in heaven? Well, I have to pause and think. I never seen or heard, or my eyes have never seen heaven yet. Well, I thought, I guess it all depends who you ask. If you ask someone who's suffering from raccoons or rabbits because they love gardens and the animals come and they wreck the gardens, the person may say, yeah, well, there will be animals in heaven except those raccoons and rabbits. For someone who recently read Ecclesiastes 3:21, he would quote from that passage, which it says, who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and the spirit of animals go down? Therefore, there will be no animals. Well, there might be some people who just read from Isaiah 11, which says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. So definitely talking about the future paradise, if you want to take it that way. And if that is the case, then there will be animals in heaven. And also, I guess the Bible speaks, and I know from Revelation, speaks of the creatures around God's presence. There are creatures in heaven. But here's the thing. We have a record of it in the Bible, but how they look alike, we do not know for sure. So my answer would be, I guess there will be, but it will be very, very different world. It is simply because no one has seen, nor heard, nor experienced that world. There's this question in our passage. The quotation in our passage which comes from Isaiah 64. No eyes have seen or ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Here are the theme and the points. How did God reveal his wisdom? Not to our physical eyes, ears, or our senses. Second point, through his spirit. And most importantly, to those who have mind of Christ. So far in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Apostle Paul laid out two exclusive wisdoms, the wisdom of the world and wisdom of God. Up to this point, Paul has been insisting that the gospel owes nothing to human wisdom, the message and the messenger. They were both despised by the wise of the world. Previously, Paul was talking about this antithesis, or we can say contrast between two wisdoms, mutually exclusive. And now he's talking about how some people embrace one type of wisdom, whereas the other group of people embrace the other wisdom, wisdom of the world and wisdom of God. So in other words, how come some people believe and the others don't? And this contrasting concept, wisdom of the world versus wisdom of God, this antithesis leads us to another contrast. As Paul introduces new term, spiritual versus natural, or we can say spiritual versus carnal. Just as the wisdom of God and wisdom of the world are mutually exclusive, so are those two terms, natural versus spiritual. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 14. It's just not going to happen. Jesus once said, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before a swine." And what is going to happen if you do that? Well, they will trample them under their feet and they will turn and tear you in pieces. The natural man does not understand the spiritual matter. It's a foolishness to them. Just as the dogs and swine, they wouldn't recognize how precious your pearls are. Look at what Paul says in this passage, verse 8. "For had they known, if they appreciate the pearl, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Crucified the Lord of glory. Crucifixion, execution, Lord of glory, valuable, precious Lord of glory. It's oxymoron expression filled with great irony. Most shameful death to glorious Lord. Shameful versus glory. So what Paul is saying simply is this. The natural man who has the wisdom of this world just cannot. He is not able to discover the things of God. The merely carnal mind is not able to know the deep spiritual things of God. That being said, the people in this present age do not understand what God accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other passages, Christ is the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God. They're not able to perceive, they're not able to understand. Now, there's a Korean expression, if I may. Reading a book right to the ear of cows. Or cow. You can try to read a book or science, teach you science or music, and see if the cow understands what you're talking about. You can try, for instance, teach your dog to put the dog in the car and ask the dog, teach the dog or cat to drive the car and see what happens. No matter how much you try, that's not going to happen. Unless a miracle happens. For instance, cat turns into human, which is not likely to happen. Paul says this, the natural man, again, think about this antithesis, mutually exclusive, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. You see, just like the passage divides the wisdom of God and wisdom of the world, Bible divides the whole mankind two classes. Only two. Those who are regenerated and those who are not. So what does that mean by natural man or carnal man or spiritual man? Well, let me explain. The lost man, unregenerate man, is called the natural man because he has been born of natural parents, Adam and Eve. Adam, man's federal head, inheriting his sin, original sin. Whereas the saved man is called the spiritual man because he has been born again from above, John chapter 3. Second time, from above, by the Spirit of God. The spiritual man possesses the Spirit of God. The natural man, carnal man, doesn't. Simple as that. And speaking of this natural man, that's the default mindset of mankind. All natural men, sinful, corrupted natural men. Unless the man is changed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So there is a great mystery when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." That's very true. Unless you are fundamentally changed, unless your whole nature, your nature is fundamentally changed, you will not see the heaven. You must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit and water. Because, why is Jesus speaking of new birth? Because those two natures, I emphasize, opposed to each other. They can never blend, they can never compromise. So when we speak of these two terms, it's not like the new nature can replace the other nature. The new nature can be nurtured within us while our old nature is still alive. No. Because these two natures opposed to each other, because they can never blend, because they can never compromise, therefore, you have to have one or the other. For regenerate men, our old nature has to die out. The Spirit of God must create a brand new nature, the nature of God Himself, sinless, holy, and perfect. So, do you want to see heaven? Children, do you want to see heaven? Dear catechism students, do you want to see heaven? Do you want to be with God? The answer that the law, God's holy law, gives is no. You may not. Look at yourself. Not with your current state. Because with your eyes, with your ears, with your whole sinful, sin-contaminated nature, you cannot and may not see God and enjoy the things that God has prepared. We are reminded of that truth again and again whenever we listen to God's holy law every Sunday. Concerning this nature, the Bible says, by nature, we are children of wrath, not of blessings, Ephesians 2:3. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. There's none righteous, not even one, Romans 3. The nature which I inherited from Adam, unprofitable, useless, there's no one who does good, period. Therefore, no one can see the glory of God. The natural man, the unregenerate man, sees none of these glories in the Bible and of salvation. He lives in the world of senses and sight. He lives for physical pleasure and lust. At the same time, ignorant, totally ignorant to spiritual things. Indeed, a natural man cannot receive the things of God. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Do not be deceived, the Holy Spirit says. Some people say, well, you're contradicting yourself, Pastor. Jesus is love. He will forgive wretched sinners. He will not condemn you. Well, why are there those warnings in 1 Corinthians 6 then? Well, people say, just as he said to the woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8, I will not judge you, go. Well, you shouldn't judge me, Pastor. Well, that is true. Jesus said that. But do not be deceived, because the same is true when Jesus said to the woman, go and sin no more. Surely, sexual immorality, materialism, unbelief, atheism, very pervasive in the Western world. Natural man, carnal, simply means you live according to your flesh, your desire, your instinct. Remember back in my university years, one of the roommates was pretty good at that. Called himself a Christian, but his life was literally like an animal. You go have lunch when you are hungry. You go stupid things when you want to do. You watch things that you want to watch. You don't really care about the moral standard. You get drunk when you want to get drunk. You commit sexual sins whenever you feel like it. You squander your money by gambling, lottery, if you feel like it. No responsibility. You abuse your body, which is the temple of God. You abuse your body with the drugs and substance abuse. No discipline whatsoever. You are just led by your physical, flesh, carnal desires. Natural man. That's what we call natural man. Relying on physical sight and physical senses. And God says, no eyes, no physical ears will sense heaven. It doesn't matter how educated you are with the worldly wisdom. Now remember this, Paul is speaking that there's a transition, worldly wisdom. He's talking about the people who the world thinks is smart. It doesn't matter how smart you are according to worldly standard. You see, many people in this world reject Christianity, even well-educated men and women. Or we can say, especially some educated men. They reject Christianity and our God in the name of science. It's ironic. Science is a study of nature. The more you study the nature, you should appreciate God more, the Creator. In the name of science, they reject God. The question is, why are so many wise and educated, sophisticated men and women reject the spiritual truth, such as creation, miracles, virgin birth, the atoning death and resurrection, and also second coming of Christ? Answer is simple. Mutual exclusiveness, spiritual things. It is because of spiritual things can only be seen by spiritual eyes. Has to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the second point. Through His Spirit, God reveals the spiritual things through His Spirit. So what do we need in order to receive the spiritual things? Christ gives the answer in John chapter 3, when He had a conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus Himself said one of the most cultured, He was talking to one of the most cultured, educated and well-respected religious leader at the time. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not with the eyes that you have. Not with the carnal mind that you have. Not only that we must be born again, but born from above, but also our old nature must be destroyed. That's why our catechism defines our conversion as dying of the old self and rising of the new self. It's both of them. Die and rising. That being said, being a spiritual man means putting off your old nature. As I mentioned earlier, these two things are mutually exclusive. So the question is, how do we do that? How can we get rid of our old nature and come to the life of the new? And this brings to our attention to our Savior, Jesus Christ. This leads to Christology. Because with my own strength, I'm not able to put my old self to death. It is Jesus Christ who put away my old man, put my old man to death. Dying of an old nature, Romans 6:6. This our old man was crucified with him. Colossians 2:14. Christ has taken our trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Notice the word flesh. Nailed to the cross. So it is Jesus Christ took our infirmities, trespasses of all our flesh, nailed on the cross, so that we may put to death our old nature. See, our conversion is totally based on the works of Jesus Christ. Because our natural man cannot, may not, and will not receive the things of God. In the meantime, dying of the old nature, Christ had done that, and he also is renewing us by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord willing, we'll listen about that in this afternoon. In our passage, notice, brothers and sisters, there's a quotation from an Old Testament passage in verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Many people quote from this passage, you know, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard. And they stop right there. The passage simply means the natural man cannot and does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And they stop right there, which is very depressing. Stop with a depressing note. But here's the surprise. Verse 9, we have to do justice to the whole passage. Verse 9, there's turnover, little word, but. However, but, that's not the end. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The hidden wisdom of God, which Paul mentions previously, in the early verses of chapter 2, which no eyes can see nor ears hear, God revealed them, God has hidden them from the wise of the world, but God has revealed them to you, to us, through His Spirit. Imagine, it would have been very depressing if Paul didn't add that line. Let's imagine that this passage, this chapter stops at verse 9 with this sad note. No eyes can see. That's the end. I'm sorry, but that's how that is. It would be like a father saying to his children, no disobedient children shall have ice cream. Ever. You forgot to help your mom? You refuse to do dishes, always whiny, fail to share toys with your siblings, you fail to love your parents with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength. You fail to love your friends as yourself. You're torturing your pets, cats. You fail to do good things actively out of your heart. Therefore, no one, as long as you live that carnal, sinful mindset, you will never taste a single drop of ice cream. And of course, parents do have all the rights to do that. I wouldn't call that abusive power. But here's the thing. That's not the end of the story. From a child's perspective, that is fair, but that is very sad. No hope, no possibility to taste the joy from now on. If you stop at verse 9 and don't read anything beyond verse 9, it is like when you read, when you read the Romans, you stop at chapter 3. All have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. There's none righteous, and there's none who understand. And that's the end of the story. It's very depressing. But verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The Spirit enables us to discern. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, distinguishes us from this world. The Spirit helps us, enables us to know God, the things that others could not see. Verse 12 is a very critical verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Brothers and sisters, the implication is very straightforward and simple. All of you here and who are watching here, remember, you received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Application. When you have different spirit, you have to be different from the world. Act like it. Now, you have to do justice to the context. Chapter 1, Paul's been talking about disunity. Paul's talking about divisions. That's from the spirit of the world. Christ's Spirit unites us. So you have received the Spirit who is from God. Act like it. Later, Paul will talk about sexual immorality. You received no spirit of the world, not the spirit of lust, not the spirit of greed, pride, and division, but the Spirit of God, the natural reaction, application. Act like it. Let's go to the third point. To those who have mind of Christ. Notice that Paul not only quotes from Isaiah 64, which is in verse 9, but also Isaiah 40 later, which pretty much sums up his argument. Who has known the mind of God, mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who? It was to the carnal-minded Corinthians that Paul opened up this truth. Who has known the mind of the Lord? It was the question asked by the prophet Isaiah many centuries ago. The wisdom in the heart of holy God cannot be known by finite intellect, a fallen human mind. Isaiah said in another passage, Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. My thought than your thoughts. So, heavens higher than the earth. There's a huge gap between God's way of doing, our way of doing. There's a huge difference between a holy God and condemnable us. And how can we have a mind like God? And Paul gives answer right away. But you have the mind of Christ, the mind of the mediator. Reminds us of the job, the task that Jesus had. He's the mediator. He came to save us. After Christ crucified, after he resurrected, after he ascended to heaven, we as believers have indwelling of Spirit who gives us access to the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. Remember John chapter 14, John chapter 16. Mind of Christ, mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The same expression is found in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. Being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant. Again, humility. Humble mediator who came down to earth to be humiliated. Coming in the likeness of man, incarnation, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Mind of Christ. The natural man do not have the mind of Christ. Natural men tend to be very proud, haughty, and arrogant. Natural man may outwardly be a good man, gracious man, generous man, but he has no intention to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, but glorify himself. The Corinthians, though they call themselves Christians, they were lacking the mind of Christ. Humble, servant-like. Rather, they were filled with pride. They were tempted to make divisions among themselves and glorify themselves. So there are two lessons that I can bring here. First, in order for wretched sinners just like you and I, carnal-minded people, to enjoy heaven and understand God and to have wisdom of God, God himself has to put his own mind in us. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who? We do. Not because we are ourselves, not because we have that mind in ourselves, no, because Christ put his Spirit in us, shaping us to be like him, to be have his mind. Cross-reference John chapter 16. John chapter 16, very important. The Spirit of truth comes and he will remind him. He will take what is mine and declare to you. Mine is, of course, the Son of God. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take mine and declare it to you, the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Has to be, God himself has to come down and put his mind in us. Second, if you have the mind of Christ, you have to act like it. Which one do you have? The humble mind of Christ or proud mind, carnal mind of this world who like to form divisions like the Corinthians? And I think you know the answer. We ask the Lord that he may provide us a helper, so that we may be like Christ day by day.